we're going to invite Thomas to come back at this time. And Thomas, we just want to this time just give you the pulpit here, and so to speak, and just let you just share your heart and share the Word of God. We love when our guests from Global Missions come because they bring a perspective in the message to the from the Lord to us that is couched in the area of how what's going on around the world. So when Thomas has to deal with southern Italy or the Bronx of Naples, and then he comes back here to Canada, there's something burning in his heart that he wants to share with us. And we pray as the word of the Lord comes forth that your heart and the word of the Lord will come forth with you. Bless you.
Well, why don't you pray for me?
Lord, just pray that you just bless Thomas as he shares. Bless him right now, Lord God, with the teaching. Just help him just unpack a word for us that will be something that sits in our heart, that we will grow from, that we will learn by, and that we will be motivated to do something different this week by. In your name we pray.
Amen. Thank you. Why don't we stand up and we'll read our text this morning out of Mark chapter 26, verse 29. Excuse me, I've been struggling with a bit of a cough and a cold, so if I start hacking, I hear a few people are coughing here this morning. So we all feel at home. Mark chapter 26 to Mark 4, 26 to 29. And so here we go. It says, he also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." Can you say that last phrase, "because the harvest has come"? Say it again. "Because the harvest has come." How many of you believe the harvest is plentiful here in Ladner? The harvest is plentiful here in this city. I really believe it. And God is, I feel God is calling you in 2016 as we launch in this year to go deeper when it comes to gathering the harvest. Go deeper. Go deeper is the word for you in this year. Is this working okay, or is it feels like it's going in and out? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're the greatest thing I've seen in a long time." All right. Awesome. So Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. And there's a simple key principle here this morning that the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, is literally a transformative, miraculous force that when it is released, something powerful and dynamic takes place. How many really believe that? Like, how many really believe the gospel has the power? That it's not just some book that we have on the shelf that's collecting dust, or some outdated book collected with some archives of old stories that don't mean anything to us today or don't relate anything into our culture. I still know that the fact is, the statistics say that it's still the number one selling book on the planet today. And so this morning, the gospel message of Jesus Christ is that transformative, miraculous force that when it's released out of your life, that when it's given, that when it's deposited, that when it's delivered, it has a dynamic and powerful outcome. The truth is this morning that the gospel in itself, the message of the cross and Christ and the crucifixion and the testimonies of people like you and I this morning in this room, have an inherent supernatural power. Romans 1:16, Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God." It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The gospel is the power of God. Amen? helping me preach this morning. Yeah. Therefore, when the gospel is released into a person, when the gospel is released into a community, when the gospel is released into an environment, into a certain context, into a city, into a nation, it will have the capacity to break through and bear fruit through the miracle power of God. And the beautiful thing about all this is that each one of you in this room today are the manifestation. You are the fruit of the seed of the gospel that was once scattered and planted in the soil of your heart. That's what's beautiful this morning, is that every one of you, once upon a time, somehow a seed was planted in the heart of your, in the soil of your heart. And that seed, that gospel that came to you, that situation, that story, that testimony that planted that seed in the heart of your soil and my soil, it took root and it bore fruit. And now you're a son and a daughter of Christ. And so that's the beautiful thing. Jesus uses this metaphor time and time again throughout the Gospels. And I want you to really come to grips with the heart of God in all of this. And the gospel being like seed this morning. In Mark 4, he describes it as the farmer in the old days, where he would go and he would take a handful of seed and he would just scatter it. He would throw it and the wind would blow it all onto the field and onto the soil, and it would fall on the soil and he would scatter it. And it says in the text that some would fall in different soils, in stony soil, in hard soil, in thorny soil. And then there is the good soil that the seed falls on, which produces that crop and that fruit 30, 60, 100-fold in return. And so what is the heart of God? And how do we grasp this idea of the gospel being seed? Jesus tells us some parables. And you know the parable of the great banquet, the greatest party he ever threw in the Gospels. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus paints this image of the master being God. And he's sending out his servants. And he's saying, go out there and invite as many people as you can to the banquet. Invite as many people as you can to the party. And go out there and invite the poor and invite the crippled and invite the blind and invite the lame. And the servant goes out and he comes back and he says, Master, it has been done as you requested, but there's still room. How many of you know that if you're going to have a party, you want it to be full? If you're going to have a wedding, if you're going to have a birthday party, you want it to be full, don't you? You want it to be filled with people, friends, and people that you know, and acquaintances, and neighbors, and classmates, and coworkers. And he says, I've done what you've done, but there's still more room. And so the master, demonstrating and illustrating the heart of God, says, go back out there in the roads and in the country lanes and compel them to come that my house may be full. God wants this house to be full. And not only one time on the weekends, but he wants it to be full multiple times on the weekends. He wants to fill this house. He wants to fill houses in the Lower Mainland. He wants to fill his house in heaven, that house will be full. 2 Peter 3:9 gives us this picture of the heart of God. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, and some understand slowness as some understand slowness, but he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Everyone to come to repentance, that no one should perish, and that everyone would come to repentance. Jesus continues to tell stories to make the point of the heart of God. Then we go to the parable of the lost sheep. In Luke 15, a man with 100 sheep, and one goes missing, and he leaves the 99 to go and look for the one. To go and look for the one, and the one that is lost. And Jesus says in verse 7, I tell you, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than the 99 who do not need repentance. You know that story. Then what about the lost coin? Jesus says, what about the woman who had 10 valuable coins and loses one of them? Does she not light a lamp? Does she not sweep the whole house and searches carefully until she finds that one valuable coin? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and her neighbors and says, come and celebrate because I have found the one lost coin. And Jesus says again, there is more joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. One sinner. And then we go to the parable of the prodigal son. Two sons, and one asks to receive his inheritance early. You know it well. And he goes to a distant country and he blows the inheritance. He wastes it on wild living. Everything he has is totally spent. He's left with nothing, only to find himself working as a slave in the field, feeding pigs. And then he comes to himself and he realizes he had it much better living at home with his father and his brother. And he decides to go back to the house. He decides to go back to his father. And he arrives at home smelling like pigs. And his father comes running and sees him in the distance, starts running and embraces him and puts a ring of identity on his finger and a robe to cover his filth. And he places shoes on his feet to care for the wounds of his journey. And he calls for a celebration. He calls for a party. And he orders the servants to kill the fattened calf. And while they're celebrating, the older brother who represents religion, who represents the religious, who represents self-righteousness, is angry with the father for celebrating the one who came home. And the father responds to him and says, son, everything I have is yours. And if you pay close attention to the story, you realize that the older son never went to the party, never participated in the celebration of the return of his brother. And then you read in verse 32, it was right, his father says, it was right to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The heart of God is for a lost humanity. The heart of God this morning is for a broken humanity. And he's saying, hey church, we need to get our hands dirty and touch the broken humanity. We need to get our hands dirty and we need to deposit the gospel that has the power, the supernatural power to transform a life, to bring a life back in the light, in the hope of his glory. Romans 4:35-36, it says, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and the harvest? But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit of their harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike? What is the heart of God for people this morning, Lander? What is the heart of God? I would think it's just like the heart that you have for your kids. How many have children here in the house? Babies. Right? I think it's very similar to the heart for your kids. I mean, you'd do anything for your child, right? You would do anything for your child. And I remember one year when Jeremy was just a young boy, we went to the P&E. And my cousin was here visiting, him and his wife, they were visiting us. And so we took them to the P&E, and you know how it is, hundreds of people, crowds all over. And so we're walking around, we did the ride thing, and then we said, hey, let's play some games. And so my cousin and I go, hey, let's compete on this game. You know the one that you shoot water into the clown's mouth, and there's this thing that goes up, and it hits the bell. When it hits the bell, you win. I said, let's try and win something. So him and I, and so Jeremy was with me, he's not here today. But he was right beside me, and my wife Lillian says, yeah, you know, keep an eye on Jeremy. And I go, yeah, no worries, right? And so Jeremy is with me. Me and my cousin are competing, seeing who's going to win, and we're shooting this water in his clown's mouth. And Jeremy's there, and he's cheering us on. And then you know, we're just about wrapping up. My wife comes and says, hey, where's Jeremy? And I'm like, what do you mean, where's Jeremy? He's right here. And all of a sudden, I realize he's gone missing. He's no longer there. Like a split second. And so we're like, oh my gosh, like, you know, like the first thing as a parent, you feel like a total failure as a parent. I've lost my son, you know, he was just there a minute ago. Ever happened to you? You know, you misplace your son, your child, like, But that feeling of standing there in the middle of the P&E, surrounded by a massive crowd, hundreds of people, your child is lost. I mean, your heart starts pounding. You're looking around. Oh my goodness. You know, Liliana is crying and she's thinking, oh my gosh, my worst nightmare. Someone abducted him. Now he's gone. What's going to happen? And she's crying and I'm looking around and getting people to help us find him. And you're thinking the worst scenario. And how could this happen? And somebody finds Jeremy, and this lady sees us in panic mode in the P&E, and she says, "Hi, oh, sorry, you know, is that your son?" And she points at a distance, and they put him on this picnic table. And he's there standing on a picnic table. And we're like, oh my gosh. And we're so relieved. And we run to him. And he's like in tears. And he jumps on us. And we embrace. And we're just feeling totally, totally relieved. But you know, neither one of us, when we realized Jeremy went missing, neither one of us said, neither one of us was calm, cool, and collected. Says, oh, you know, we'll look for him. And, you know, and... like, worst case scenario, if we don't find him, we have another son at home. You know, 50%. Like, 50% is pretty good, hey? Like, of course not. I mean, it's your blood. It's your son or your daughter. And you get that, right? And so we never took that approach. I mean, he's my son. And I would never take that approach. You know, I'm going to look for him. I'm going to run. I'm going to do whatever I can. I'm going to get all the help I can to find my son. And that's how God feels about every person breathing on a planet today. Every person, friends. He says, I don't want anyone to perish. And none should be lost. That's the heart of God. That is the passion. That is his passion for the world. That is his passion for this city. That is his passion for Ladner and Tawasin and Steveston and your neighbors and your coworkers and your classmates. And that is the passion of God. That's why he sent his only son, his most precious prized possession. And he was willing to lose his son for the sake of your sons and daughters and family and friends. That's the heart of God. And that is why mission is what we do. Because it reflects the heart of God. You know, Danny asked me, what keeps you going back to Europe and what gets you fueled? And it's the heart of God. And it's my heart. It becomes my passion for the continent of Europe, for that generation in the nation of Italy, for the people that are lost, for the broken humanity, for the disenfranchised, for the displaced, for the poor. And all through the New Testament, we see Jesus living his life on mission with a purpose. You know, Jesus was constantly moving. He was constantly going. He was constantly reaching out, touching, kind of like randomly. There was really no strategy. He was being led by the Father. He was being led by the Spirit. And he walked through the crowd slowly. And he reached out to the widows and the immoral women and the ones that nobody would talk to, the poor, the beggars, to those who were known as thieves, to the tax collectors like Zacchaeus. He reached out to children and he blessed them. He reached out to the blind and the lepers and no one else would dare talk to or touch. He reached out and talked to the rich and the highly educated, those who were of high status and influence. He started conversations. I mean, he started a conversation with the woman at the well. And he says, I've got water that I can give you that will satisfy you for eternity and you will never thirst again. He started a conversation and she spilled out her guts and told her all of the graphic details of her life as an adulterous woman. And Jesus was non-judgmental. He just was there. She gets saved. And out of that phenomenon, an entire city gets saved because of her testimony. What did I tell you? The seed of your testimony, the message of the gospel, has the transformative power to change a life when it's released. And an entire city got saved. And so... He was on mission all the time. There was no social status and strategy of who was worthy of his time. It was any soul, any person, anywhere, anytime. The value of one soul before God is evidenced in how Jesus lived his life on mission. Shehala Visser, director of Alpha in Canada in the workplace international, recently reported that in the city of Hong Kong, one of the wealthiest men in the city gave his life to Jesus in an executive suite in his office tower during the Alpha course this past year. Multi-million dollar man in Hong Kong. And there's a lot of money in Hong Kong. Her report goes on to say that more than 250 business people have now been through Alpha in the workplace in Vancouver. Around 750 in all of Canada, and as many as 4,000 or 5,000 internationally. Just business people that they're targeting. She says, every time I turn around, it's changing. 3 years ago, Alpha in the workplace was running in 2 countries. Today, it's running in 21 countries. And that's just the beginning. I was just in Spain, she says, and says, where I talked to the representatives from 28 European countries. Come on. Can you see Alpha go to Italy? She says, we are planning a pilot project for Finland, Poland, and Hungary. This past year, and I just read these stats this week, but this past year, it's been on my heart saying, maybe Alpha is going to be a tool that I will be able to bring in the nation of Italy to reach that young generation. That's Alpha scattering some seed. What about the young people, the next generation? Jason Ballard, some of you know, who lives right here, attends Christian Life Assembly in Langley, director of Youth Alpha Canada. They produce the Youth Alpha film series that can be used in a high school or cafes. And last fall, from the months of September to December, just last fall, 5,250 high school and young adults people gave their life to Jesus in Canada. Come on. In Canada. Yeah. People say, oh, those young people, they aren't interested in God. Yes, they are. And they're scattering some seed among the young generation. What about those people that no one considers young moms with kids and strollers that go to the preschool right here in your church? What about the co-workers, the members of your family, the down and out, the street people, the poor in this community? And that's what we've been doing in Novi Sad. A very poor gypsy settlement on the outskirts of Novi Sad. 3,000 to 5,000 people. And we went in there, and you could put on the slide. And that's Mirko and Slavica, where we helped. And they are our outreach people in Serbia. And and we started going there, and all we did was started by bringing food boxes to 20 different families every month. Out of that, it opened the door to sharing the gospel, your testimony. And now we have a Roma church of about 30 people. Go on to the next slide. This is a fruit of this, of the seed that was planted. Her name is Angela. She's in her second time diagnosed with cancer. Came to Christ. We're praying that God's going to heal her. Go on to the next slide. This is Maria. She was an orphan since 2 years old. And just this past year, came to the Roma church through Mirko and Slavica, gave her life to Jesus. Mirko and Slavica, our church planters, have adopted her as pretty much as her daughter. And she was there serving and joyful. And after all these years, she found a family that's taken her in. That's some of the fruit of the seeds that's been planted. This little boy, Victor, his father was driving. They were in the car driving, and he was driving intoxicated. His mother died in the accident while he was driving intoxicated. He went to prison. The mother's dead. He's now on his own, and he's living with his grandparents. And that night he came. I was there just last year in the Roma meeting, and he was there, and he says, would you pray that my daddy comes back home? The man behind him is his uncle, and his wife got saved in the Roma church. And when she got saved, he got very upset. He got very angry, and he says, "If you keep going to that Roma church, I'm going to kill you." And through different events, one night they invited him to the Nexus Church, our partner church, says, why don't you come to church? And for some reason he said, okay, I'll go. And God just touched him. The message came, the gospel came, melted this man, just sobbed and cried. If you see him now, he's like this big, huge teddy bear. And just serving. And he's opening up a small group in the Roma village right now. This was all because we went in and started to plant some seeds by bringing in some food boxes, which opened the door to sharing the gospel, which has the power to transform a life. You know, sometimes we look at these people in their desperate situations and conclude it's hopeless, but it's not hopeless. Jesus can touch the millionaire businessman in the office suite. He can touch a person in the gutter that's messed up. He can touch the orphan. He can touch that poor family. He can touch that gypsy in that ghetto in the outskirts of Novi Sad, Serbia. The cross levels everybody the same. The blood of Jesus is sufficient enough for whoever is willing to receive. Our place is to be part of that job where we scatter. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is what? The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters. Mark 4, 26 to 32, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man who scatters seed. That's our text. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. The harvest is ready. In verse 4 it says, the farmer went out to sow his seed. The Bible also says, some plant seed and others water seed. But Jesus gives the increase. God gives the increase. Amen? In 1 Corinthians 6:8, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. And the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. I want to appeal to you today, church, on this concept that we need to uncomplicate some of our ideas when it comes to evangelism and reaching the lost and sharing our testimony and our story and witnessing and doing something that demonstrates the love of Jesus. The bottom line is this, friends, the lost are going to get reached somehow. But I think many have given up on the idea of evangelism, reaching lost people, because we think it's too hard, it's too consuming, we can't do it, we fear rejection, we've convinced ourselves that people just aren't interested in the gospel. I want to challenge you today that Jesus gives us the simplest concept to understand: a handful of seed that we scatter. And the sad part of it is that so many of our churches in Canada have stopped scattering. We've stopped scattering. None of us here, let me tell you this, none of us here is qualified to save anybody. And I think many times, church today, we don't share our faith because we have put this enormous pressure on ourselves that we've got to get someone saved. That's not your responsibility. That's only God's responsibility. Because you never paid the great price that Jesus paid on the cross to be able to save anybody. But I'll tell you what you are capable and qualified of doing. You are capable of scattering seed. You are capable of planting, of watering where there is seed. And that's our responsibility. Take the pressure off. Our responsibility is to plant seed where there's no seed and water where there is seed. And everyone in this room is qualified to do that. See, but we've thrown it all out. And so, and we can only do this if we intentionally connect with people on a daily basis, compelled by the love of Jesus. Let me share with you a few stories before we close. Story number one, 40 years ago, a Canadian missionary who was in Thailand felt a burden and a call to go preach and sow the gospel in Bangladesh. He went to a small fishing village in the southern part of Bangladesh. It's too small that it's not even on the map. The Canadian missionary preached, and a 14-year-old boy and his mother walked all day to get to this evangelistic meeting to hear the Canadian missionary. And the 14-year-old boy gave his life to Jesus that night, and the missionary never knew anything about it, and he went back to Thailand. In the meantime, the boy gets discipled and gets equipped and grows up, and he becomes this successful businessman, became trained in the scriptures, and began planting churches. Now, in that nation alone, through the man's life and ministry, there are over 2,000 churches that have been planted. Over 80,000 people that have been water baptized in a Muslim country. Somebody had the vision and the heart to plant seed in a small fishing town that wasn't even on the map. And the young man gets saved. It took root in the heart of that young man. And now there is a movement in that nation, and they have a vision to impact an entire nation for Jesus Christ. And that's just one thing going on. Who knew? And who can tell? The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed. Just get this. If there's anything I want you to leave with today, is I'm like that farmer who scatters seed. Through kindness, through love, through mercy, through generosity, through example, I'm just scattering seed. In Italy, we're working in Italy. I told you about the Bronx and Scampia. You can put on that slide. This is part of what the Bronx looks like. Danny came with me. We walked through the streets of Scampia. These are abandoned government buildings that people just go in and make themselves an apartment. No windows, no electricity. They steal electricity from the electrical pole in the city. And the government just lets them do it because they don't know where we're going to put them anyway. So just go for it. Have at it. And go to the next slide. That's the kind of conditions it's in. Building after building after building. And so we... When Pastor Danny, and this is pretty cool, because when Pastor Danny came is when I met Salvatore and Anna together, and we ate together and had espresso together, and we heard his story. This man, Salvatore and Anna, they lived in the Bronx. They grew up in the Bronx. He became a ringleader of organized crime in the Bronx, trafficking drugs, and then got into this whole fraud business and frauding the banks, and he vowed that he would never use drugs. He would only sell it. He goes, I'm smarter than that. Well, as he got successful, he got all cocky and all confident. He says, oh, maybe I'll do a little bit of drugs. I can conquer it. You know, I'm invincible. And he starts using drugs, and he became so addicted to drugs that he could no longer even lead the organized crime anymore. That's how out of it he was. His partner says, you've gone nuts, man. We are useless to us. And in the meantime, they get into this very desperate situation. And the wife knew of a pastor who she talked to every now and then. And she went to this pastor and says, man, we need help. My husband is down and out. He's totally strung on drugs. I mean, it's messed up. We don't know what to do. And so he ministered to her. She gives her life to Christ. And the pastor says, you know, tomorrow night we're having a prayer meeting. Why don't you encourage your husband to come to this prayer meeting? She goes, well, I'm going to try. And so she goes home and tells him. And he's like, over my dead body, I'm going to go there and all that. Well, that night, to make a long story short, he just was restless, couldn't sleep, became desperate. The next morning, he wakes up, he tells his wife, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to come to this prayer meeting. He goes to the prayer meeting. Immediately, the prayer meeting turns into helping this man, the pastors, and they're witnessing, and they're giving him the gospel, and he just surrenders his life to Christ, encounters the gospel, gets transformed, both him and his wife, just through a miraculous transformation in their lives. And ever since then, they've had this burden to go back into Scampia in the Bronx and help people, because they know exactly what it was all about. In the meantime, when he got saved, he felt like he needed to just disconnect from all his friends. And so he turned off his phone. He says, I just need time with me and God. And for several weeks, it was just him and God working on his heart, God showing him visions and all that. And then he finally turns on his phone. He's got all these messages. And his partner says, like, where are you? We need to talk to you. And he calls his partner and he goes, like, where have you been? He's like, hey. He's like, he goes, we want to meet you. And he's like, well, what do you want to meet me for? Well, we just want to talk to you. Don't worry. And so they met and they're like, where have you been? What's going on? And he says, my life's changed. I met Jesus. He's transformed him. And he's like, oh my gosh. His partner goes, nothing ever changes with you. You're really on drugs. You're so drunk. He's like, you know what? We don't need you. Go on and keep doing your drugs. And then the Lord spoke to him and showed him a vision of heaven and hell and how he wanted to be used to rescue people out of the pit of hell in Scampia and put them in heaven. But he says, I've got to remove you from Scampia. I want you to go to Northern Italy. And he volunteered in a mission ministry for a few months. While he was there, the gang that he was leading started a war with other gangs in the Bronx that went on for several months. Every gang member of his team died. And it was at that point he realized, God protected me. Then he came back. And last year, when we met him, he was pastoring a suburb church outside of Scampia. And he says, you know, Danny, Thomas, my heart is for Scampia. We need to be in Scampia. People get saved there. We can't bring them to the suburb church. They don't have vehicles. They can't afford to travel. We need a presence in Scampia where we can have a recovery type church. And remember that? And we says, well, let's pray. Let's believe God. And a year and a half later, which was this past year, I came back, told the story, partners came on, raised some money. We started Hope Center right in the Bronx of Scampia. And there it is, right there. Centro Evangelico Missione Speranza, Hope Center. And it's all boarded up because they have to. You know, people will break in, but you open those doors and there's glass doors and you could go in. But so we've started the very first Hope Center recovery type church feeding program that's feeding about 100 people a week that you guys sowed into last year and helped them. And it came just at a very critical time. They were praying and fasting. They needed funds to come in and your money came in. And keep going. And that's his wife, Anna, on the right, on your right. And one of the workers, and they're preparing the food packs, giving it to the people. Go to the next slide. That's part of the food bank. Go to the next slide. And they just recently water baptized 8 people in through Hope Speranza. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap. Huh? That's Salvatore baptizing. And that's what's been happening. Do we have time for one more story before I close?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Yes. So that's the Bronx. And what's that? Scattering seed. Him and his wife for years have been going in and out of the city. And finally, God opened the door. We've been able to open this center. All because we've been scattering some seed. Another story is there's that church plant in San Antonio I told you about. The mother church is Emmanuel Church in another town called Castellammare. And then there's this other area called Via Napoli, which is another little Bronx area. A missionary from England had a vision years ago to go into this town called Via Napoli and start a children's ministry. Her name was Gwen Saunders. And she went in and partnered with Emmanuel Church, who we're partnered with, and started this outreach for kids ministry, like Metro style, the little truck, the stage pulls out, and started reaching out to kids. She was there for 10 years. 10 years. She equipped the team from Emmanuel Church and says, I'm not going to be here forever. You guys are going to take this on. They would go into the community, into the high density areas with all the apartment buildings and pull out the stage and do kids ministry, kids outreach. And for 10 years, they got great relationship with the parents, but no one ever got saved in 10 years. This couple here, next slide, Veronica and Gianluca. Veronica was the one that she trained to do the kids ministry. She's actually the kids ministry pastor for the mother church. This past year, I had a prophecy at our last conference for them that God saw how they've been faithful with the small things, and now God is promoting you to bigger things and responsibilities. At that time, I didn't know that the pastor of the mother church was thinking of commissioning them to be church planters in Via Napoli because people were getting saved. And two women got saved, finally, after 10 years. And she says, I'm going to open up my house for a home group. And we're going to have a home group during the week. And so they started the home group. More got saved. It ended up filling, 12 to 15 people were filling in. And there, the apartments are very small, so it's jammed. You get 15 people, it's jammed. All these people are getting saved through the leadership of Veronica and Gianluca. And so then one of the ladies said, you know what? In my apartment building in the basement, I've got a wine cellar. How good is that? We can have church in the wine cellar. Come on. Right? Some people might have issues with that. I don't care. People are getting saved. And so they're in the cold room in the basement of this apartment building having church. I mean, I've seen the photos and everything. And they got their coats on. And that fills up to 25, 30 people. And they outgrew the wine cellar. And so just a few months ago, this past year, I was there. And they moved into a storefront. And I got to preach in the storefront. Go on to the next slide. And that's their kids outreach that they do. See, with the little truck. And this is their little church in the storefront that now is running about 40 people. Go to the next slide. They just sent me this 2 weeks ago. That's the outside. And next door, you see those other doors? That's their kids' center. And they filled this up too. It was jam-packed. And so when I was there and I preached a few months ago, she goes, man, God is just doing some amazing things. Well, Gwen Saunders came from England to visit. And when she saw what was happening, she just, tears started flowing down her face. She goes, this was my vision. She goes, I didn't get to see it, but you guys are reaping the harvest. 10 years of scattering seed. And when I saw this, I'm like, this is something we need to get behind, because this is a sovereign move of God. Because the gospel, the seed, has the power. And harvest time came. And now we're reaping the harvest. Amen? 10 years. 10 years. I'd like the team to come back as we bring this to a close. You see, friends, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed, and God does the miracle of bringing the harvest. Just softly, maybe the keyboard for now. And you see, God puts it all together. You think the gospel doesn't have supernatural, miraculous power to sprout and grow and do things that we can't even imagine it can do? If we can just take seed and let it go. If we can just be part of the process, when you invite your friends and you invite your neighbors to church and to an outreach, or when you ask them to pray for them when they're going through a crisis or a problem, and you show them kindness, and when you send teams out to help the outreach in Steveston, don't worry about the results. Just do it in Jesus' name. You're scattering seed. This city needs the seed of Jesus Christ. This city needs an outbreak of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Italy needs an outbreak of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Europe needs an outbreak of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Canada needs an outbreak of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And some of you have come to the conclusion that you can't do it, and it's just for those who are gifted, and it's just for a select group of people, and it's just for missionaries like you, Tom. You'll take care of it. Someone else will take care of it. Friends, I believe we need to increase the scattering. And the word for you today, Ladner, is increase your scattering. Increase your scattering. I've been coming here now for a few years. 2016 is your year to step it up. It's time to go to the next level. It's time not only to fill this place on once on Sunday morning, twice. You need to extend yourself, but you need to increase the scattering. Pastor Danny has shared on a couple occasions on the new development taking place in Tawasin, the large mall. I drove by it, the 1,500 new homes being built and filling up quite quickly. Church, I don't think I'd be out of place to say you can go and scatter some seed there. You have no choice. You have no choice. You are called to go and scatter seed. Who knows what God has in store for that city through your scattering? The ministry, the new work that maybe could be birthed, multiple missional communities that could be birthed, small groups that could be birthed. I know one thing is for sure. God is asking you to increase your scattering capacity. It's time to step up. Go the next level in 2016. Go deeper with your scattering. I think some of you here in this house have become too comfortable. I feel like I could say that to you because I'm part of the house. And we're like family. But maybe you've become too comfortable. Maybe you've become desensitized to the lost and to the broken and hurting humanity all around this city. Whatever you plant, whether you plant or you water, just be part of the process and be obedient in the process. And let God, through His power, allow the miracle and the harvest take place. Jesus said the fields are ripe. I believe Jesus knows what He's talking about. There are ripe fields all around us. Let's be encouraged. Let's have faith that God can be able to use us to scatter seed.